ever coming into your head. You are going through things. You're dealing with stuff. There are voices that are speaking. Paul said this. He said, there are many voices in the world and none of them without its authority. That's what he says. So we have to be careful what we listen to, who we listen to, what we listen to, because everything has a voice. Sickness has a voice. Lack has a voice. Discouragement has a voice. Fear has a voice. Doesn't it? Better know it. So here's the thing. I looked this up. I want to define the word define. How about that? As I'm going to be talking about it this morning. To define, it means to explain or identify the nature or the essential qualities of a thing. I'm going to say that again. Define, it means to explain or identify the nature or the essential qualities of a thing. What is identifying your life? Someone or some things are endeavoring to do this very thing. They're endeavoring to explain and to identify the nature or the essential qualities of your life. They are telling you you're not going to make it. They're going to tell you you're going under and not over. They're telling you this sickness and disease is going to be the death of you. They're telling you that nobody likes you, that you are rejected. I'm telling you, there are things that are trying to identify your life and tell you who you are. Another definition means to determine or fix the boundaries or the extent of a thing. To determine or fix boundaries or the extent of a thing. Listen, these same voices that are defining you, what are they wanting to do? They're going to define your boundaries. This morning in your life, you have set boundaries. Boundaries have been set. There's not a person in here that doesn't have a ceiling. There's not a person in here that doesn't have a limit that has been set in our lives, in your life. The thing is, who set it? Because that is who is defining your life. So let's look at that with that in mind. Because here's the thing. You and I are the permission granters. I'm going to say that again. You and I are the permission granters. We grant permission for things to define us. We grant permission for people to define us, and we even grant permission for God to define us. I know that last one's kind of heavy, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. And so let's look at some things that try to define us this morning, and perhaps in here, maybe the Holy Spirit will show you where some other people or some things not authorized of heaven are setting or endeavoring to set and define your life. They're endeavoring to define your life, to set the boundaries, to fix the extent and say, this far you go and no further, this much you can have and no further. And they're trying to become the authority in your life. Amen? The first one is other people. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. You got your Bibles with you? Turn over to 1 Samuel 17. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you. It's good. It's good. It's good that we're here this morning. It's good to be in the presence of God with you, family of God. And it's good to hear God have a word for us. And I believe with all my heart, this is a word for you. Open your ears, open your heart, tune in. Amen. Tune in to God, tune out to that other. 1 Samuel 17, let's pick it up in about verse 23. As he was talking with them, Goliath the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. We know who was defining their life, don't we? Fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, say that with me, the Israelites had been saying. What have you been saying? Because listen, what comes out of your mouth is your definition. You're just repeating the definition. You're repeating the definition. They had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. Come on. What have you been saying about your circumstance? Have you been listening to others? Have others been telling you you're not going to make it? I want to tell you, let me just say something right now. Listen, God's the only one authorized to have a definition about this church. We stand by the Word of God, or we don't stand by the Word of God. Amen? Some of you need to stop listening to some people. I mean, some people, they don't even come to this church anymore, and you're letting them define it for you. I mean, they're not here. How do they know what's going on? They don't know what God's doing. Listen to what he says. He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. Notice all this stuff, man. David asks the men standing him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? Why, David, you old opportunist. Kick him out of church. What is, he's after the king's daughter in great wealth. He ain't no spiritual person. What did he at? What did they? Come on now. Is that you reading your Bible? Oh, I don't want none of the blessings of God. Well, don't get around David. Because David, man, I mean, he perked his ears up and he said, I'm going to get all this for doing what? For killing it. That's all I got to do? That's all I got to do? Let me make sure I got this straight. That's what, if David was speaking today, that's what he'd said if he was an American. He said, let me get this straight now. What's going to be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Man, David was thinking, this is a gimme. Man, I've been working hard all my life on the backside of, you know, keeping all those sheep and having to run off the bears. And all I got to do is do this? Piece of cake. You know why? He wasn't being defined by fear. He came into the camp where there was nothing but fear. But where he came from was faith. Faith was defining David. You hear it in his speech. You see it, I guarantee you, if you could have seen the way he was carrying himself, he had those shoulders thrown back, man. He was like, now what did the king say? Come on. You see two definitions working here. The definition that a whole army of fear, a whole army had allowed fear to define them. They'd allowed someone else, the giant Goliath. I mean, who was he to determine their destiny? I thought they belonged to God. Who is the giants trying to define your life and your circumstance? I thought you belonged to God. Who are you giving authority to in your life? Come on. I'm just introducing. This is good. Now notice, after all that, verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him. Now, what a response. What a response. Here's David talking faith. Here is David talking how big God is. Here is David talking covenant. And his brother, a fellow brother in the Lord, got mad at him. You've never experienced that, have you? Got angry and said, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? Notice, what is he trying to do? The fear in Eliab is trying to define David right now. It's trying to define him. It's trying to say, who do you think you are? Look at yourself. Look at your flesh. Look at who you are as David. Stop looking at God. Stop looking at the covenant. Stop looking at how big God is. Look at yourself like the rest of us are. Get a grip on reality here, David. Who'd you leave those few sheep with? Y'all just got a few sheep there at Grace. Amen. Come on. In the desert. Not only you have a few sheep, they're in the desert. Well, I got news for you. Hallelujah. God can bring springs in the desert. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good at bringing water out of the rock. Hallelujah. He said, I got to hurry up. And I know how conceited you are. Still trying to define him, isn't he? And how wicked your heart is. Oh, my goodness. See, what had God told the prophet when he went to anoint David as king? What was the word that, remember what God said about David to the prophet? He said, I found a man after my own, but his brother says he's what? Stop letting other people define you. Stop letting other people define what God's doing here at Grace. I know what God said. An opinion's like a nose. Everybody's got one. Some are prettier than others. He said, I know how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. David says, now what have I done? I know how he feels. That's why I say that sometimes. Lord, what have I done? Can I even speak? He turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. Here he is. He's asking again. Now, what's going to be done? What did God? How did God say he was going to bless? What did God say he was going to do here at Grace? What's the prophetic word here at Grace? What's the vision God said here at Grace? What does he say he's going to do? Yeah, but all those people out there said we're in the desert. I'm going to come over and preach to you in just a minute. Don't worry. What David said was overheard, reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you what. Saul was the king. Listen, you start allowing God to define you and not others. And you know what it will do? It will bring you before the king. It will bring you before the king. And you know what? You're on your way to becoming a champion. David, by allowing God and God's word to define him, was on his way to meet destiny. He was on his way to become a champion for God. It brought him before the king. The king said, okay, you go out and fight this giant. Show us how it's done, son. And he went out and killed that giant, and he became a champion. But listen, if he'd have listened to his brothers, if he'd have listened to other people, and he'd allowed that same fear and that same negativity and that same jealousy to define him, he never would have become a champion. And I believe he never would have become king either. We think sometimes, well, I'm called, it's automatic. No, listen, God may call you, but that doesn't mean that's the end of it. You got a part to play too. You've got faith to mix. You've got to let that calling of God define you and not what everybody else is saying. Nobody else knows what God's spoken to you except you. Amen. I'm not talking about being haughty and proud, but I'm telling you what, I'm not going to let somebody who's full of fear and negativity and doubt, they're not going to define me. They're not going to define God's call on me. They're not going to set the boundary in my life. And sometimes, you know, it's unbelievers, and sometimes it's unbelieving believers. Isn't it? I know it, but it's true, isn't it? Notice in verse 36, he said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. I mean, this had even infected the king. The king said, you're not able to go out and fight against him. People will tell you. People will be quick to tell you, well, you're not going to make it. You can't make it. You can't make it. You're not going to make it. You're a failure. You're not going to make it. Huh. You think you're going to make it? You ain't going to make it. Why, that little band of people, you ain't going to make it. Come on. But then you know what? You got to rise up and remember, just like David here, verse 36, look what he said. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Come on. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Because he has defied the armies of the living God. Listen, do you know when the enemy comes against you, he is defying God? You need to know that. You need to know that when the enemy comes against you, he's defying God. Because who do you belong to? I said, who do you belong to? You are bought with a price, and you're not your own. Isn't that right? You belong to God. So you can just rise up and say, who are you to defy the people of God? Who are you to defy the armies of God? Amen? You uncircumcised devil. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So the first thing is, other people will seek to define you. You can't let them do it. A lot of times they'll be well-meaning. A lot of times they may even be a brother in the Lord. But listen, you can't allow them to define you. Are you listening? And listen, let me just say this to all of us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We oughtn't to ever say anything that would discourage, put down, bring fear, doubt, or anything like that to any brother, to any church, or to anyone that's doing something for God. I do not understand that. You know, his brothers here, it was almost like they wanted him to fail so that they would look better. That's the next one. Second one is inferiorities. We're talking about things that try to define us. Inferiorities, turn to Judges chapter 6. And a big one of that is, as Cindy just said, insecurity. Turn over to Judges. Let's look over there a minute. Judges chapter 6. How many of you know God doesn't call perfect people? Because there aren't any. So if God only calls perfect people, no one is called or ever been called outside of Jesus. Because he's the only perfect one. Are you listening? And see, a lot of times, we speak to other people out of our own insecurities, don't we? We deal with other people out of our own insecurities. Here's a man, Gideon. Everybody knows Gideon. Know the story of Gideon. So I just want to read certain portions here about Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. You know, of course, you know, Midian had come down, and they'd, you know, every time the Israelites got ready for harvest time, guess who showed up? The Midianites. You know, you see there, it never says they were there during plowing or planting time. They only came at harvest time. You ever felt like that's what the enemy tries to do in your life? He's not around during the plowing, but as soon as you're about ready to have a breakthrough, as soon as you're about ready to reap the harvest, as soon as you're about ready to move forward, all of a sudden the Midianites show up. Come on. He shows up. But I got good news for you this morning. You don't have to let the Midianite define your life. But the Israelites were. So here's Gideon. Because of what's going on, Gideon is hiding out, you know, trying to thresh a little corn so the Midianites won't see it. Because if they see it, they'll take it away from him. Come on. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, wait a minute here. If I was looking at this scene, that wouldn't have been what I'd have said. Are you listening? But what does God know about Gideon? God knows that Gideon has some insecurities. Are you listening? He knows that Gideon has some insecurities. Otherwise, he wouldn't be hiding out doing this. He'd be up there thrashing and say, "I double dog dare you to come up here and take this away from me." So he had some insecurities. So what did God seek to do as soon as the angel appeared to him? Begin to redefine Gideon's life. What are the promises of God? What is God saying about us in here? Why does he want us to fill our heart and our mind with these things? Why? Because he wants to become the one who defines us. He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Boy, nothing's changed, has it? You know what? That is what insecurity says. See, because insecurity wants everything always to be just right, perfect. It's got to be just right in my life. If the least thing gets out of order in my life, oh, I fall apart. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're going through a trial. Oh, my goodness. Look at the checkbook. Oh, my goodness. Come on. And listen, what's the checkbook got to do with God's promise that he'll meet all your needs according to your riches and glory? If it's in the checkbook, is that in there? No, it's my insecurity that rises up, isn't it? My insecurity. As long as everything's just right, hallelujah, I'm shouting in church, I'm worshiping, I'm praising, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The first time something goes awry, though, I'm, if the Lord's with us, why is this happening to him? If the Lord is with us, why are we going through this? The Lord is with us, why in the church full? If the Lord is with us, why don't I have plenty of money? If the Lord is with me, why? Am I in the right place? Y'all were happy a minute ago. Where are all the wonders that our Father told us about? Notice what he's saying here. Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us. My goodness alive. Can you imagine a covenant man getting to this point to where he has allowed his insecurities and others to so define him that now he's even gone to lying about God? Well, wasn't that a lie? I said, wasn't that a lie? He said, the Lord has abandoned us. Had the Lord abandoned them? They may have abandoned him, but the Lord hadn't abandoned them. And see, many times, this definition, this thing, the circumstances and our insecurities that want to try to define us, before you know it, you'll begin to say things you thought you'd never say. Oh, I guess, it just don't work for me. I guess God's blessed. That works for Pastor Dwayne and Faye, but that don't work for me. That works for Brother Copeland. He don't ever go through anything, but man, we got it tough, or whatever. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. Oh boy. How would you feel if the Lord told you that? Go in the strength you have. What strength do you have? And save Israel. Am I not sending you? But now notice, if it hadn't already come out, here it comes. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. And I am the least of the weakest of the least in my family. Boy, his insecurities. Bless your heart, as we say in the South. After that, there ain't nothing left to say. Come on. We laugh, but we laugh because it strikes close to home sometimes, don't it? Oh, Lord. Oh, we're here at Grace. We're so... We're not like them big churches, Lord. We know you can use them big churches. But we can't. Come on. What have you allowed to define God's call? What have you allowed to define it? Comparing yourself with other people? Paul said that's unwise. No, what we compare ourselves, what does God say? God had just told him, go in this thy strength. He said, I'm going to be with you. And immediately all his insecurities rose up. Listen, every one of us have insecurities. You know why? Because we're not perfect yet. But here's the thing. We need to recognize those insecurities for what they are and do not allow them to define us. Because my security's in God. My security's in the blood of the Lamb. My security is in the seal of the Holy Ghost upon my life. And greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. The Bible says, let those who feel weak say, I am strong. So his inferiorities. See, internal things, internal pressures and attitudes, they will try to define us. But the only way you can escape that is you've got to get into God's Word. You've got to get into God's Word and say, you know what? This is what God says. God says that I am a mighty warrior. God says that now I'm in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than able to triumph over all my enemies. God has said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He is my refuge, my fortress. He will provide all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We begin to let the Word define who we are. Let the Word define who we are here at Grace. Let everybody have their opinion. But listen, you remember, what has God said to us? What has God said about this house? He said we're going over and not under. He said we're going to reap a harvest and not we're not going to be insignificant. He has said we're going to increase, and we will. We shall. I'm going to let the checkbook and everybody, my insecurities, define who I am. What's the difference? What have we got that anybody in the world doesn't have? The third thing, real quickly here, circumstance. All this is linked together. Some people allow their circumstance to define them. You know, I call these the happy-go-lucky Christians, because they're happy when they feel lucky. You know, when things are bouncing their way, amen, you know, when the other shoe hadn't dropped, just bring out all the euphemism. When everything's great and they got plenty of money and feeling good in their body and everybody likes them and, you know, the church they're going to is great and everything's wonderful. But, man, I'm telling you what, let some circumstance turn around, let some trials or tribulations, let them come under attack. And, I mean, man, I'm telling you what, they're about to step on their bottom lip. They're so sad. They're so, you know, that up and down and up and down and down and up and down. Because what? They, you know, everything around them is defining them. Things are good. Hallelujah. Things are bad. Oh, Lord. Come on. Circumstance. We won't read it in Daniel 3, though. Remember the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I didn't say Abednego. Abednego. What are you laughing about? Y'all are so bad. Here I am being so innocent, and y'all just... The three Hebrew children. What are you doing? Y'all stop that. You tell her after the service. Y'all are bad, bad, bad. That's another thing that will define you is your actions, right? Where were we? Oh, yeah, the three Hebrew children. See, y'all got me off my point there. Three Hebrew children. Well, your actions are good, honey. Got out of that one, didn't I? But three Hebrew children, they got into trouble, didn't they? You know how they got into trouble? Same way you will. They obeyed God. See, we've got this idea in Christendom sometimes that, boy, if I'm in faith, if I'm believing God, if I'm obedient to God, if I'm following God's plan, nothing bad will ever happen to me. And if something bad's happening, boy, you missed it. Well, if that's true, everybody in the Bible missed it. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, missed it because He was persecuted. I'd say being crucified was a bad thing happening to you, wouldn't you? So here they are, they're in the fiery furnace. And if you read over there, he said, now, remember he made the big, you know, the big statue, the golden statue? Old Neb, you know, did? As the kid said in Sunday school, you know, Neb had a razor. He probably did. Nebuchadnezzar. And he's made this statue, and he said, now when you hear all the sound of the instruments and everything, you know, that's when you bow down. Well, the instruments sounded everything, and of course the three Hebrews, they didn't bow down. And so immediately, word got to the king. I mean quick. Now listen, O king, O great and mighty, you know, they sucked up to him. O great and magnificent and king of all that you survey, you know. These three, now everybody else did, but these three didn't. And so the king said, well, you know what, boys? I'm going to give you another chance. I think you just didn't really understand. You read over there. I'm paraphrasing. That's what it is. He said, I'm going to give you another chance because I don't think you really understood. I just didn't communicate it well. Now, let me tell you. Now, listen, boys. When you hear all that racket, that music, that's when you bow down to this statue. And if you don't, you're going to go in the fire. And so, you know, they did it again. They didn't bow. They wound up in the fire. They wound up in the fire. So circumstances, what? Will try to define you. The circumstance they found themselves in says, this is a good time to bow the knee. God will understand. This is a good time to compromise. God will understand. God will understand. God wouldn't want you to go in that fire. God wouldn't want you to go through that. God wouldn't want you to suffer anything. You know the story. They didn't bow and they didn't burn. Isn't that right? See, sometimes we think if I bow, I won't burn. But every time you bow, you'll always end up burning. And every time you refuse to bow, you'll always be delivered. Amen? You may be delivered through the fire. Hello? You may be delivered through the fire. You know, when they came out of that, you know what the next thing it says about them? It says, and the king promoted them. Some of you want promotion. Maybe you need to do like they do. Don't let your circumstance define you. And in the face of the king, in the face of the fire, in the face of the furnace, in the face of your circumstance, you said, I will not bow. God's word is true. I will not allow this to define me. God defines who I am. This word defines who I am. Then finally, the culture that you live in will try to define who you are. Romans 12, 2. Turn over there real quick. How many give me just about 5 more minutes or so? Okay, that was good enough for me. You guys got tomorrow off anyway, so. Glory to God, that's a good thought. Well, we ain't got to be in a hurry at all, have we? Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We could say it this way. Do not be defined any longer according to the pattern of this world, but be defined by the renewing of your mind. Couldn't we say that without really changing it? So what's going to define you? The culture? The culture that says, now you know, now we need to be tolerant of everything and everybody. No, the Bible doesn't say be tolerant. The Bible says we love. Didn't say anything about being tolerant. It said we love. And then it talks about speaking the truth in love. Hello? Speaking the truth in love. It didn't say anything about being tolerant. God's very intolerant. Why do you think hell came about for? Wouldn't be any need of hell if God was so tolerant, would he? Just put everybody in one spot. Come on, I know that, you know. But see, the culture will try to undermine truth and try to define and say, now, you know, real Christians are tolerant. We don't judge anybody or anything. You better get in the book again. Because this book is full of talking about God as a judge. Amen? And the Bible says if we will judge ourselves by truth, then we will not have to come under the judgment of God. Amen. And so here's the thing. Culture will try to squeeze you in and try to, and oh, and it sounds so plausible. In the Greek, they had a word, it was called a sophistry. A sophistry is a statement or a philosophy that sounds true. That sounds plausible, but it is not. It's a deception. And doesn't it sound good? Christians are tolerant. Christians are so understanding of all of this. Come on. And isn't it interesting? Usually the people who are saying that, they aren't Christians at all. They don't even know what a Christian, they might not even know a Christian. They might not have ever seen a Christian. all these talking heads, you know, on TV or in the political arena or wherever they may be. But listen, the culture will try to define you. Now, you know what? If you don't do this, you might not get ahead at the workplace. If you don't do this, you know, you might not make it. You might not prosper. You might not get the promotion. You know, people might say something bad about you. Oh, God help us. Somebody said something bad about me. It's all over. Man, we are so wimpy. Somebody hurt your feelings. Give me a break. Come on. We're hypersensitive in the body of Christ. Somebody hurt my feelings. Well, wait till they start nailing you to a tree. Then we might listen to you. Listen, let's just take a poll. Anybody in here ever had your feelings hurt? Raise your hand. Put them down. Have you ever had them hurt by a sinner, as we say? Put them back down. Have you ever had them hurt by a Christian? Put them down. Have you ever had them hurt by a preacher or a pastor or somebody? Do we need to just keep going down the list? So join the crowd. The Bible's Peter over there, he said, what, I'm paraphrasing, he said, what are you complaining about? He said, you haven't suffered yet unto blood. Amen. Oh boy, quiet in here, isn't it? It is good. It's good for you. You know, I start off with the dessert, now we're down to the spinach. We worked it in reverse, didn't I? Kind of pulled a trick on you there. So here's the thing. Yeah, everybody was shouting when you're eating the dessert, man. You know, that dessert bar is full. Boy, everybody's up there at the dessert bar. Spinach kind of over there, you know, snuck that in on you. But here's the thing. God wants us to grow in our faith and our strength and our courage. And you know how that happens? We get stretched, don't we? All these things will try to define us. And this morning, you know, all of these things are trying to define you and I. Let me read one scripture in closing here real quickly. Turn to Psalm 104. This is my second closing. Hallelujah. Listen to this. All these things that come against us are insecurities from within. Remember what Paul said? He said, fears from without. He said, insecurities from within. Even Paul had to deal with them. Sure he did. That great man of God, caught up into heaven, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had visions of Jesus, all kind of miracles, all kind of things. He still had to deal with these things too. Everyone who's ever called of God. You will, these things, and here this morning we're talking about defining your life. What are we, or who are we going to allow, or are allowing to define our life? Notice here. Verse 16, he called down famine on the land. He destroyed all their supplies of food. He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. You know how Joseph got sold as a slave? He got a word from God. Hello, still want a word from the Lord? Isn't that right? He had a dream. He had a word from the Lord. He had a dream from God. He said, I saw the sheaves bowing down before me. I saw your sheaves and all the sheaves, the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down before me. He had a dream. He had a word from God. And what did it do for him? Made him a slave. Hot dog, you want a word? They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what he, God, foretold came to pass. The word of the Lord proved him true. All of the pressures that come against us, people, circumstance, opinion, all this thing, our stuff from within that rises up, insecure, all these kind of things. You know, if we hold fast to God's Word, letting God's Word define who we are, it will have a growing, a stretching, a working in us so that we become stronger in faith. We can become more courageous. We are able to rise up in God and actually lay hold to the Word the Lord has given us. Lay hold to the promise, to the dream God has given us. See, we think sometimes, you know, as soon as we get a promise or God speaks a word to us in our prayer time or maybe a prophetic word that confirms something in your heart, we get that. We think it's going to happen tomorrow. God says, you're not ready for it to happen tomorrow. It's got to prove you. There's going to be some time. I'm going to see who's going to define you, this word or circumstance. Because you know when that word comes, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I got a word from the Lord. Woo! But then, the pit, Potiphar, you got to work for Potiphar. Then you end up in the prison. Lord, it looked like he went from bad to worse, didn't it? As we used to say, out of the frying pan, into the fire. But God had a plan for him. And here's the thing about Joseph, and I'm going to close with this. Joseph, my third closing. It's better than having a preacher with nothing to say, I tell you that. We could send out for chicken or something. Just kidding. Joseph, in the face of it all, he hung on to God's word for that word to define him. And notice, once that word had defined him, it had proved him, had it defined him, it says the king sent and released him. Listen, if you're letting others, if you're letting circumstances, if you're letting your insecurities define you, compromising God's call, God's purpose, God's dream for your life, I want to tell you what, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there. If you're easily offended, you're never going to get there. I'm going to tell you. I'm just telling you straight. It says the king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free, made him master of his household and ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and to teach his elders wisdom. What are you allowing to define your life? Your attitude will tell us. Your words will reveal it. Amen. Your actions will display it. Isn't that true? Who is defining your life this morning? I want to tell you what. We need, as they say in football, pardon this if it's a little crude for some people, but we used to say gut check time. It's time to get down to the innermost part of who we are and say, okay, it's time for a gut check. Okay, who is defining my life? Amen. Why am I sad? Why am I despondent? Why am I discouraged? Somebody other than God. God's not doing that. Somebody else, we've allowed somebody else to define our situation. We're listening to what they say. And we're letting it define who we are. Now we're sad. Now we're down. Now I'm discouraged. Now I'm full of fear. Now I'm talking all this junk. Now I'm being envious of somebody else. Now I'm being critical of somebody else. All this stuff's coming in on me. I'm allowing it to define me. And I'm beginning to speak words out. Now not only is my well polluted, I'm beginning to try to pollute other people's wells. It's bad enough to pollute our own. It's even worse when we seek to pollute somebody else's. I'm fearful, so I want you to be fearful. I'm discouraged, so I want you to be discouraged. I'm in unbelief about God's promises, so I want you to be in there. Amen? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? We're going to pray here. And every one of us, we're going to examine our hearts before God this morning. We're going to examine our hearts right now before God. Father, we're going to examine our hearts. And here's the thing. Where you have allowed something else or someone else to define you, then you know what? You need to acknowledge it before God and give it to God and say, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to allow my insecurities to define me. I'm not going to allow the opinions of others to define me. I'm not going to let the culture and values of this present age to define me. I'm not going to let it. I'm going to allow your spirit and your word and your truth. They are the definers of my life. I give them authority and no one else to define who I am, what I am, what you've called me to do, what I'm able to do. It's because you are defining me. Your word is defining me. Your salvation is defining me. Your grace is defining me. Your blood is defining me. Your promises are defining me. And no one else. And no one else. And if you, while you're seeking this, if you have been guilty of polluting the wells in the body of Christ, then I want to encourage you, repent of that to God. If you've been talking doubt and fear and all this kind of stuff to other people in the body of Christ or about the body, you need to get rid of that. Listen, let's don't have any pollution. We're not going to be polluters. We're not going to be spiritual polluters. You put that under the blood right now. Put that under the blood right now. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Today you have spoken a word. Today we have been in your presence and we acknowledge it, Lord. We acknowledge it. Thank you, Father, that Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the indwelling of your Spirit, it is the defining factors of our life. We are who you say we are. We can do what you say we can do. And we possess what you say we possess. And we will not listen to the devil. We will not listen to men who say otherwise. We have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I am defined by you, God, by your love, by your grace, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. I am defined by you and you alone. And I see my brothers and sisters that same way. They're defined not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Lord, we're going to speak words of encouragement, words of faith, words of life, words, Father, that said, tell people you can do it, you will do it, we'll help you do it. We're going to be encouragers. We're going to be there. We're going to help people with their dreams. We're going to be people of faith. We're going to bless people, Lord. We're going to be there for one another. And we're going to let the kingdom of God define who we are here at Grace.